get worse than that, and then they do. You step off the straight and narrow and you don't know where you are. Use the needle of your compass to sew up your broken heart. Ask directions from a genie in a bottle of Jim Beam and she lies to you. That's when you learn the truth. If you're going through hell, keep on going, don't slow down. If you're scared, don't show it, you might get out, for the devil even knows you're there. Well, I've been deep down in that darkness, I've been down to my last match, filled 100 different demons, breathing fire down my back. And I knew that if I stumbled, I'd fall right into the trap that they were laying. Yeah. But the good news is there's angels everywhere out on the street, holding out a hand to pull you back up on your feet. The ones that you've been dragging for so long, you're on your knees, you might as well be praying. Guess what I'm saying? If you're going through hell, keep on going.
Good evening, Remnant, and welcome to 7x70. Wow. Whoo! Just like he's saying, if you're going through hell, just sometimes you got to keep on going. That's how it is. Well, it is, let's see, I don't even have my phone in here with me. That's where I get the date. I think it's the 11th of May, Thursday night. It is, coming to you live. Whoo, been kind of a hectic day today, I can tell you that. But we are pleased to be here, blessed to be here, and wow, live program tonight, folks. Phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. Let's open up with a word of prayer before we get any further, though. Well, Heavenly Father, again, thank you for this day. Thank you for the moisture that you're bringing, the rain in the area. Lord, I pray that Lord, it's not too much for some. I pray your protection upon those that, Lord, as we live in a parched land, we thank you for the rain, Lord. But we come and ask not for floods or washouts, but, Lord, just that latter rain, that sweet, gentle rain from you, Lord, the cleansing and healing and nourishing rain, and we thank you for it. We thank you for the good rain, the good weather in its season. Thank you for this day, Lord, that you bring to us, that you have allowed us to get through, to, Lord, to hopefully love you with all our heart, mind, and soul, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Thank you for the opportunity to be here at the Radio Ranch microphone tonight, Lord. I pray your blessings on this broadcast, that it would be encouraging to your people, that it would help them draw closer to you, and help them in their Christian walk. Thank you for the foundation that was laid here, that foundation built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ by a lifetime of work and service and dedication from our dear pastor, Pastor Peters. Although we are unworthy, Lord, help us to stand in the gap and to continue, Lord, to share the truths that you have given us and given him, to open the eyes of the blind, to soften the hearts of stone that are out there, Lord, to prepare your people for what's coming. We do all this, Lord, to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. And with that song, if you find yourself going through hell, sometimes you just have to keep on going. And I'm driven back to Psalms 23. Many times the 23rd Psalms is read at funerals for comfort, because it is a comforting psalm, but it's not just for funerals. It's just not. The 23rd Psalm, it's only six verses. Let's look at it in the New American Standard. And I told you, I got my Bible back. I got my sword back. I'm glad to have it. Yes. Re-sewn, cover put back on. Got my sword back. It's good stuff. 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you, O Lord, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I wanted to read that because I want to encourage you, Remnant, to be familiar with it, to look to this comforting scripture that talks and describes God's love for you and me, for his people, and how the psalmist puts it in words. And this is a praise psalm. It's a praise to God for his blessings on us, his protection. You know, verse 4 and 5, I think that many times we find ourselves, I've got a current event to talk to you about tonight, that at least one, that and many other people are commenting on the times that we are in, that we find ourselves in the valley of the shadow of death. That it is perilous times. I know the evil and the murder and the mayhem in Chicago is talked about so little, but just this last week had a young black female police officer got off shift about 1:30, and had parked and was walking home, and she was jumped by four other black youths, 18, 19, 20, to rob her, because one of their girlfriends wanted money for a barbecue. That was the story that was given. Came up on her, shot her in the face, just point blank, and of course killed her. And, you know, I saw the story, And it's heartbreaking. They were all black, the victims and the perpetrators, but it's heartbreaking. This young lady looked like she had so much to live for, had a beautiful smile, and we are in, Remnant, the valley of the shadow of death. The news doesn't report all the crime, but the crime is out there, and the the invasion that is just exploding exponentially. We've been talking about the invasion for the last couple years, but that's all been, it's been an invasion, but it's been almost held in check by this Title 42 that has ended. And they're talking from just exponential numbers. I've got an article, we'll get to it. But we are walking through the valley. The reference is the valley of deep darkness. The valley of the shadow of death. But we're told, and the psalmist says in the next verse, I fear no evil. And the reference for that word evil is harm. Talked a little bit last night, towards the end of the Wednesday night prayer meeting, about a reference Bible. I strongly encourage you to have a reference Bible, not a study Bible, okay, but a reference Bible. And the reference Bible does a good job, whether you get New American Standard or King James or ESV or Holman Christian Standard, whatever, but a reference Bible. It'll help you. It'll help you grow as a Christian, and it'll help you learn the Word and understand the Word better. The psalmist says, I fear no evil, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And that rod and that staff, that represents God's power and God's authority. And, you know, Jesus walked in the power and authority of God, of course. And the Bible says he was the meek. He was meek because he had all power and authority. And he was humble. And when we can walk that way in humility, in meekness, but with the power and authority of Almighty God, knowing and remembering this, remembering what he told Joshua and what he tells us, right? Be strong and courageous. Well, then these words, at least to me, they, not that they take on new meaning, but a deeper meaning. Verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Okay? That's like when we were at war with Japan, God preparing a table for us in, you know, in the middle of the Japanese War Council. Okay? At the Bohemian Grove, when they're meeting and doing all their Bohemian Grove stuff. And this is representative of that he provides for us, even in the midst of everything that's going on. And I really want to make sure that we understand that in the with the times that we are in, okay? If you look at the government, inflation numbers for April were not as bad as predicted. Well, that was yesterday's headline. 2 days ago, it was prices in April did not come down like expected. Everywhere I look, the prices are up, whether it's the hardware store or the grocery store. It's tough. I talk to members of the Remnant and neighbors, and it is hard out there. But I want to share a verse with you, and we'll come back and finish here in Psalms 23. But it's Ezekiel 7:19, and it says, it's Ezekiel 7:19, they cast their silver into the streets, and their gold is like an unclean thing. Their silver and gold are not able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They cannot satisfy their hunger or fill their stomachs with it, for it was the stumbling block of their iniquity. And so, you know, we have to make sure that we, Remnant, in these days, in this day that you and I were made for and prepared for, that we do not have the spirit of Egypt among us. And that spirit of Egypt, remember when God pulled his people out, delivered them miraculously. But that generation still had that spirit of Egypt. Oh, why'd you bring us out here to die? At least in Egypt we had graves. Well, yeah, you were a slave and you worked 7 days a week. Oh, we just have water and manna. At least in Egypt we had onions and leeks. Yeah, but you were a slave and you worked 7 days a week. So make sure we don't have that spirit of Egypt. Egypt went down. And Babylon today is going down. Verse 5 again, Psalms 23. You, O Lord, prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. And again, remnant, that Ezekiel 7:19 is the contrast to that. Because they're those with an abundance of silver and with gold, that is an idol to them. That is where they put their trust. And they say, well, this inflation ain't bothering me none. I'm good. I got plenty of money. I got it stocked away, whatever, socked away. It says their silver and gold are not able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. Guess what is? The Lord being your shepherd. That he is able and will deliver. Verse 6, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Anyway, 23rd Psalm, it was on my mind, and especially I was able to get this song up for, when you're going through it, sometimes you just got to persevere, right? We're told to persevere. We're told to overcome. We're told to... some of the older sayings that Dad used to tell us, right? Rub some dirt on it. Just keep on going, right? I got a little Jeep. It's an old Jeep, a 1994 little Jeep Wrangler. We don't drive it off the ranch too much. My son and I bought it together. We bought it together back 2002. Yeah, 2002. And we kind of split it up. We call it, it's kind of the corporation, you know, a family thing. If somebody needs to borrow a vehicle or something like that. So we keep it running, keep a tag on it. But been using it out. I've been telling you, we've been fencing. Our old buddy Jim's been over. We've been doing some fencing. And some of us been up on the hill. And so I've been using that Jeep, getting up and back and moving things up there, and that hill's pretty steep up one part of it, and you start bogging down in that Jeep, and you just got to get a lower gear, shift gears into lower gear, kind of grind it on out. And sometimes that's what you have to do. That song talks about that. You know, when you're going through hell, you just keep on going. Just persevere. And remember Psalms 23, that you're not going through it alone. For the believing Christian, for the true follower of Jesus Christ, for the one that has come out of her, my people, that has come out. Not come out like the society talks about coming out. No, but that has come out of her. Come out of this Babylonian system, and we see it going down. We do. We do. And so, as it says in there, we fear no evil, for you are with me. And it is perilous times. It is evil times when good is called evil and evil is called good. But even in these times, we are to persevere and we are to thrive. We are to be strong and courageous. And sometimes we just have to tell ourselves that. Saw this headline. ATF agents go door to door to confiscate FRT-15 triggers. And this was an article came out yesterday, actually yesterday evening, and it happened just this past week. It says here the ATF continues its, quote, door-to-door operation to seize these triggers from private citizens. Latest video recorded example, ATF agents armed and wearing ballistic plate carriers show up demanding the surrender of this FRT-15 trigger. So get this knock at the door, and the woman ATF agent says, were you expecting us? And the man responds and says, well, it doesn't surprise me with a guy wearing a plate carrier showing up. Like, what? And the woman ATF agent says, well, the reason why we're here, that just recently the ATF classified the FRT as machine guns. We're aware you might have purchased some of these FRTs. The whole agency is basically reaching out to these purchasers, and we have to pick them up. And after that, the owner there that says, well, I won't be answering any questions today, and I don't have any comment on this subject, and I won't be giving you anything. And in a split second, the male ATF agent next to the female says, are you refusing to give us the trigger? Oh, he's looking for an excuse, isn't he? Bastard. And the homeowner says, I'm not refusing to give anything. I just won't be answering any questions today. Thank you. And that pretty much ended it, as far as I know. And, but, you know, when you have these armed thugs show up without a warrant, and that's what it is. We, you know, remember, without a warrant is unlawful. And anyway, I just mention this because it is happening more and more, and we're seeing it more and more. We are walking through the valley of deep darkness, the valley of the shadow of death, in the times that we are in. And it's not just that. I got a couple paragraphs here from Brother Harry that I get emails from, and I hope it's okay with him. I got this this morning and just a couple paragraphs, but I do want to read it here in a minute. But, you know, we occasionally get a chance to look at what other people write. Not just Fox News, but, you know, Chuck Baldwin, Pastor Chuck Baldwin out there in, what's he, in Montana, I guess. His latest article, Arm Yourself, or sermon, or whatever message that he put out. I get his emails. And it's a great article on Arm Yourself. Again, talking about these perilous times that we're in. The mass shootings. Just out of the blue. And excellent article. Excellent article. If you don't get he's Pastor Chuck Baldwin's emails, I encourage you to Google it and look it up and get them. They're very informative, very hard-hitting and truth-filled. You know, I saw this from News with Views by Frosty Wooldridge. And, you know, we've been sharing his stuff for years. I can remember printing his stuff out 15 years ago and showing it with Pastor. And I don't know if Pastor, I don't think he ever interviewed him. Maybe he did, but I think they talked a little bit. I'm not sure. Anyway, he's got an article on full-scale invasion of America, the serious ramifications to all of us. And it's an excellent article. The statistics that it shows, how many people are coming in? You know, when you just when you see that, you know, when you we've had 20 million illegals that have come in over the last 30 years, and what's happened to our society, to our economy, to our way of life over the last 30 years? And anyway, it is also a great article. And I mention it because, and I've got copies. I can send you the link, or I've got some printed out. I can send it to you if you'd like. But it does. It shows, presents statistics. to show that this is unsustainable, this invasion that's going on. And these people that are coming in and that have come in, it's really innumerable. You know, these numbers are best guesses. These numbers are what the Border Patrol has released, and what they've told. But it reminds me, when you read in Joel, of the locusts of Joel. Do you remember that? Let's flip over. I don't have it marked here, but let's look over to Joel real quick. And see, because it is, it really is. It is this people without number, okay? It just is. Verse 6, for a nation, Joel 1, verse 6, for a nation has invaded or come up against, invaded my land, mighty and without number. Its teeth are the teeth of a lion. It has the fangs of a lioness. It has made my vine a waste and my fig tree splinters. It has stripped them bare and cast them away. Their branches have become white. And so when you look through this, you see that that it, and again, it's because why? Verse 10 says, the field is ruined. The land mourns. The grain is ruined. The new wine dries up. Fresh oil fails. The harvest of the field is destroyed. The vine dries up. The fig tree fails. Rejoicing dries up from the sons of men. We are living in Bible times. So, and again, Remnant phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. I want to read this this email from Brother Harry. And let me just read it here real quick. It's only a couple paragraphs. It says, with the gate to, quote, freedom opening today, meaning the, you know, losing Title 42, which held immigration a certain a bit based on health and COVID reasons, allowing myriads of aliens into this country, I wonder if our representatives in DFC, District of Columbia, have considered what might be the consequences of their non-actions in stopping this. If history is correct, any time a country is overtaken by another country or countries, the invaders soon replace the existing regime with their own people. Maybe those in D.C. haven't thought of this. Why would your enemy need to keep you in office when they can replace you with their own people? The District of Columbia have sold out their own people and opt for what potentially their enemy's goal is. I just wonder if they've thought this through. The invading hordes, once established, will have no need for them. They will be replaced, not immediately, but soon. Their wealth, their families, become worthless to them, meaning to the invaders. Distribution of their wealth will become obvious. All this country has seen for the past recent decades from their representatives is talk. They sound good. They make great speeches about what they're going to do to straighten out the problems of this country while laughing all the way to the bank with the citizens' money. Even the conservatives. They have lied through their teeth to their constituency. They grill openly known criminals, but justice is never rendered. When is the last time any politician or criminal who has known ties to criminal activities ever been tried in a court of law? It's been a while. If the representatives ever retire, the media has a place for them as a learned commentator. They always have a placement for them. This open-door policy that begins May 11th, I feel, will not bode well for them. They will be caught in their own evil devices they have created. What goes around comes around. The throngs coming across the border will have no use for them once they have accomplished what they need. As Pogo once said in the cartoon article, we have met the enemy, and it is us. We're the traitorous politicians. My simple thoughts, the wheels of justice turn slowly, but they continually turn. And that's from Brother Harry. Harry, thank you for sending that in. I know you sent it out to more people than just me. And I hope you don't mind me sharing that, because I think it's very apt. It is. I think it's a good observation. The enemy means it for one thing. But, you know, throughout the Bible, we see we can pray that the enemy fall in the pit that they dig for us. That their nefarious deeds, their evil deeds and the evil plans they have for us, that our God turns their plans around and makes it happen to them and not to us. And he's done it time and time again. Pharaoh meant to destroy the children of Israel. But it was Pharaoh and Egypt that were destroyed. So, I'll try to keep this on file and see. It certainly, if you read history, especially Bible history, you see that you know, when new people invade, it's fairly often that they replace the leadership with their own. Saw this other bit of current events. This recent event in Texas said that I guess the perpetrator was white and linked to white supremacist groups. His name is Mauricio Garcia, and I got a picture here of him, and he's pretty Hispanic looking. And that was the Texas mall mass shooting. The 33-year-old Mauricio Garcia. And so if he was racist, it wasn't on the white side. Anyway, it again, you know, when Nero burned Rome, he blamed the Christians. And so we see this as this Babylonian system falls. I think we see this on and on, that when something bad happens, a mass shooting or something like this, it's those white Christians with their assault rifles, you know, even though it's a Hispanic person with a pistol. You know, it worked for Nero when, you know, he got his mission accomplished, you might say. Anyway, Remnant, keep your eyes open, keep your Bible open, and keep your firearm loaded and ready. And because those are the times that we're in. They just are. They are the times that we are in. And so, we've got a few minutes left. Phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. And if we look to the book of Isaiah, you know, Isaiah, this is the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, concerning Judah and Jerusalem, that he saw during the reigns of Uzziah, which was also known as Azariah, and his son Jotham, and his son Ahaz, and his son Hezekiah, kings of Judah. And you read about these, the times of these things happening in 2 Kings 15, 16, 27, 18, and 20, those chapters. So, you know, you kind of look back and see, because the few books before Isaiah, Solomon, Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, Psalms, Job, and so there's kind of a, not really a gap, but a difference in a different part of the story going on. And so when we get to Isaiah, you know, Isaiah says, verse 2, "Listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, for the Lord speaks. Sons I have reared and brought up, but they have revolted against me. An ox knows its owner, and a donkey its master's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. And understanding, what little understanding we have, at least as far as understanding that America is part of the new, JERUSALEM, that America is the, which means heavenly kingdom in the Gothic language, America is the new land that God made for his people, a land of unwalled villages, a land with an eastern sea and a western sea, and a land that the very first written and signed document on this when this land was settled, called the Mayflower Compact, has in it to the glory of God and to further the Christian faith. We come together. That's in the Mayflower Compact. And every state constitution in this United States that was written, when they were written and put together, and every state was formed, in every state constitution, it gave glory to God in one way or another. And so, you know, the as it says here, sons I have reared and brought up, and our fathers and forefathers are those sons. But we've turned away, it says, but we've revolted against God. Things have changed in this nation. I think everybody notices that. And they've changed for the worse. Because as it says here, Israel, you could say America does not know. Americans do not know. My people, Americans, do not understand. How about this? Alas, sinful nation of America. People weighed down with iniquity, that means sin. People weighed down with sin, with breaking, transgressing God's law. That's what sin is. And that very aptly describes this nation. Offspring of evildoers, sons who act corruptly. They have abandoned the Lord, despised the Holy One of Israel, turned away from Him. And that does this, and that's just the beginning of Isaiah. This is just the very beginning of it. Verse 5 says, where will you be stricken again? And we're stricken because we've done these things, because this is who we are. And we have turned away from God. We have despised the Holy One, Jesus Christ. Can't mention his name in the schools, but those cross-dressing perverts can come in and shake their booty in front of your kindergartners. Alas, sinful nation. Where will you be stricken again because of this? As you continue in your rebellion against God. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. Isn't that the number? I think 1, 2, and 3 killers. Causes of death in America. Heart disease, heart attacks, heart conditions. Because the whole heart is faint. Verse 6, from the sole of the foot even to the head, there is nothing sound in it. No, there's not. We are a land rampant with disease and cancer and diabetes and gout. And glaucoma, and everything else that you can't even imagine. We've got a neighbor boy, 7 years old, terminal brain spine cancer. His parents are just waiting. Says there is nothing sound in it, only bruises, welts, and raw wounds, not pressed out or bandaged, not softened with oil. See, the whole body is sick, the body here in this nation. Verse 7, your land is desolate. It is. Your cities are burned with fire. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. There are places in Denver. There are places in Detroit. There are places in Minneapolis. There are places in Tampa, Florida, in the United States, that firemen won't go, that policemen won't go, because the cities are burned. They're desolate. They're too dangerous. And your fields, it says, strangers are devouring them in your presence. It is desolation as overthrown by strangers. Yep, those strangers. Frosty Wooldridge's been writing about them. We've been telling you about them. They've been coming in from the south and from Canada now, from the north as well. And they devour the land. Verse 8 says, the daughter of Zion is left like a shelter in a vineyard, like a watchman's hut in a cucumber field, like a besieged city. And you know what that is? Like a watchman's hut, a shelter in a vineyard. See, that's just a shack is what that is. Just a shack. Just somewhere to step in out of the sun. Just a shack. Not a house. Not a home. And verse 9, unless the Lord of hosts had left us a few survivors. And that's who I'm talking to, remnant. That's who listens to the truth. That's who listens to this word. That's who cares about it. And unless he had left us a few survivors, we would be like Sodom. We would be like Gomorrah. How many times have we not thought that? As we see the parading, the promotion of sin as Sodom and Gomorrah was. The unrighteous acts, the filth that's in the land. And how many times have we not thought, Lord, you know, if he doesn't. I had a guy the other day say, I wish California would just slide off. It's just horrible. Just slide off into the ocean. And I've thought that before myself. God forgive me. There must be 50 righteous out there. Or 10 at least. Because God has left us a few survivors. Verse 10 says, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. That's you, O Biden. You got that, O Biden and Kay Harris, you cackling hyena? Give ear to the instructions of our God, you people of Gomorrah. You people that are happy to live here. You Christians, you Judeo-Christians anyway. He says, what are your multiplied sacrifices to me in verse 11? Says the Lord, I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination. Your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts have become a burden. I'm weary of burying them. Bearing them, verse 14 says. And verse 15 says, so when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yet even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. This is the God of the Bible. Do you hear this, Judeo-Christians, on Sunday morning? He says, I will not hear your prayers. I will not listen. Your hands are covered in blood. That's where we are. And you Judeo-Christians that call yourselves that dare put Judaism, which denies Jesus Christ, you claim that as a denying Christ Christian? Hello? Wake up. Your hands are full of blood. You are double-minded. So here in Isaiah, in the Old Testament, when he tells Isaiah to tell the people this, to tell the leaders, and to tell the people that think they're following God, and they're not, that God doesn't listen to their prayers because their hands are covered in blood. Because they are weighed down with sin, with iniquity. In verse 16, he says, get baptized. In the Old Testament. How about that? Right here, Isaiah 1:16, he says, wash yourselves. Wash yourselves. You think he means go down to the River Jordan and get you a bar of lye soap? Uh-uh. That's not what he's talking about. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. And God sees it all, so that means you got to stop. You got to stop the evil deeds. Cease to do evil. And what is evil? Well, you look in the book. You look in this book I'm reading from and figure it out. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's a start. That's a start. If you move toward that, you're moving away from evil. How about that? Verse 17 says, learn to do good. Remember when the lawyer came to Jesus and he said, oh, good master. And Jesus said, why you call me good? There's none good. See, we don't know good. We our heart is evil at all times. We have to overcome that. We have to learn to do good. Learn to do good. According to this word that is for today. Learn to do good. It says, seek justice. That doesn't mean just pray for it. That doesn't mean just hope for it. Seek justice. That means learn what it is, teach others about it, and reprove and rebuke when there is no justice. Then it says reprove the ruthless. Those that are ruthless, those... And I should have done that when that person said, yeah, California, just I wish it'd just fall off. You know, really? You want all those people to die? But we are to reprove the ruthless. It says, defend the orphan or vindicate the fatherless. Vindicate the fatherless. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Verse 18, God says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you want forgiveness of sin, oh, Jesus forgave my sins. Well, here in Isaiah, he's not preaching, he's not telling about against Jesus and his death on the cross. But he says, though your sins are as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they'll be like wool. If you consent and obey. If you consent and obey. Then you'll eat the best of the land. And see, to eat the best of the land, that means you'll have the best of the land. You'll have the best land. You'll have the best in the land. You'll prosper. You'll thrive. Verse 20 says, but if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. If you refuse and rebel, and, you know, this country has refused and rebelled, and it says you will be devoured by the sword. Truly the mouth of the Lord has spoken. That's just the first 20 verses of Isaiah. And when you read through it, I was reading through this today and almost out of time here tonight. But as I was reading through this today, you know, he goes on and points out time and time in different ways and that we have turned from him. You know, how the faithful city has become a harlot. Righteousness once lodged in her. That's our nation. We once were a righteous nation. We once were a righteous people. But now murderers. Now murderers. How many people have the Clinton clan murdered? And that was our president for two terms? Yeah, the whole body is rotten from the head down to the feet. But when you read through this, he continues and points it out in different ways. But then he says, like in chapter 2, verse 5, come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Verse 10, enter the rock, hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and from the splendor of his majesty. And it just goes on, and it describes this land today, because Isaiah was talking to the house of Israel and the house of Judah in that day, and this word is talking to the house of Judah and the house of Israel in this land of America today. You know, I hope Trump runs in 24 and I hope he wins, but he ain't going to save us. And I pray for the leaders that we have and the new representatives in Congress and senators and stuff that aren't ashamed of Jesus. I pray for them to be strengthened and to do good and to find favor and to be protected. But they're not going to save us. The only thing that's going to save us is returning to Jesus Christ, His will, His way, His word. That is what this nation was founded on. And if we continue to turn away, that will be our downfall. And our destruction. I encourage you folks, read Isaiah. It's like God said, Isaiah, listen up. Come here and I want you to this is the word to America today. I really think it is. Well, Remnant, that's all I got for you. I'm out of time, out of voice. There's a lot here. There is a lot here. I'm glad to have my sword back. I am. And Remnant, thank you for tuning in. And it's been my privilege to be here and share this. Hope it's been encouraging to you. I do want to invite you back Saturday morning for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wrangler, 7 a.m. Mountain Time, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. on the East Coast, 6 a.m. on the West Coast. Right here, Scriptures for America. Join us. We'll have the phone lines open. Be glad to take your call and look forward. It's a great time of fellowship with one another, of praise and worship to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And I hope you can join us. And until then, be blessed.
Well, you know those times when you feel like there's a sign there on your back. Says I don't mind if you kick me, seems like everybody has. Things go from bad to worse, you think they can't get worse than that, and then they do. You step off the straight and narrow and you don't know where you are. Use the needle of your compass to sew up your broken heart. Ask directions from a genie in a bottle of Jim Beam and she lies to you. That's when you learn the truth.